Welcome to the Global Research News Hour, which comes to you from Montreal, Canada. This is an initiative of the Center for Research on Globalization. This is Michel Chasadovsky. We have today two distinguished guests, William Engdahl, well-renowned expert on the global financial crisis, the oil market, as well as the issue of genetically modified seeds. He's the author of several best-selling books, including his most recent, which is Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda Behind Genetic Manipulation, which in fact is published by Global Research, and various other important books which are published, particularly on the financial crisis. William, welcome to the program. He joins us from Germany.
Thank you, Michel. I'm pleased to be with you again.
Delighted. I think today what we have to focus on much more specifically, because it affects the lives of millions of Americans, is the hike in gas prices. Because we're told repeatedly that this is due to supply and demand considerations, shortage, India consuming too much, China. But in fact, you provide a rather different understanding to that process.
Yes, quite bluntly, supply and demand have nothing to do with the doubling of index oil prices over the past 12 months on the Brent North Sea and the West Texas markets, which are the marker grades that set worldwide prices of oil. It has to do with pure, unbridled speculation. And the incredible thing about this is due to legal changes in the year 2000 with the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, one of the last laws that Bill Clinton signed into law, no thanks, ex-President Clinton, and regulatory changes by the Commodities Futures Trading Corporation, CFTC, in Washington, the agency which is supposed to, since 1934, be regulating and supervising the trading positions of large traders in commodities such as crude oil and gasoline. And that deregulation, in effect, has created a market which is a hedge fund speculator's paradise. There's nobody who has a supervision of what's going on in these oil markets. So you can have manipulation of prices. You can have collusion between big oil companies like British Petroleum and people in a privileged position in the market, such as Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley. Especially Goldman Sachs is playing a crucial role in this. Not irrelevant is the fact that the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, who gets up on CNBC and solemnly proclaims that this is a fundamental, long-term, difficult problem of supply and demand, well, Henry Paulson came to Washington from the position of chairman of Goldman Sachs. So there's such indications of insider influence, collusion, call it what you will, in this oil price manipulation. It's just unbelievable.
And political complicity, I presume, because, in fact, they're able to do this because there's no regulatory measures taken at the country level or internationally to cave in on the speculators and to sense to ensure that the gasoline prices are at lower levels.
Yeah. And so far the debate in Congress has been little short of a political farce. Everybody's trying to rush to the plate here and claim that they're sponsoring something like the End the Oil Speculation Act of 2008.
Yeah. We'll have to
prevention.
Sorry to interrupt you, William. We'll have to go to a short commercial break. We'll be right back with our guest, William Engdahl, who has joined us from Frankfurt, Germany, on on the situation.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Cartivite is probably the most misunderstood supplement today. Cartivite is packed full of vitamins at cell level to help your whole body function like it used to. Today's diet is lacking in the trace minerals and nutrients our body needs to maintain our good health. Get the toxins and heavy metals out and allow your body to do the job God intended. Made for the heart, Cartivite helps in so many other ways. So order your 4-month special of either the capsules or tincture for just $125 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. That toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. Cartivite, circulation for life.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the Global Research News Hour, which is coming to you from Montreal. This is an initiative of the Center for Research on Globalization. Our website is www.globalresearch.ca. Our guest on the first part of this program is William Engdahl, leading analyst of the New World Order. He is also the author of the best-selling book on oil and geopolitics entitled A Century of War, Anglo-American Politics and the New World Order, which you can acquire from Amazon. His most recent book, Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, which can be ordered online directly from our website at globalresearch.ca. I should also mention for our listeners in the second part, the second hour of our program at 12 noon Central Time, we will have as our guest Daniel Ellsberg. Daniel Ellsberg, who is a renowned anti-war activist in the sense that he released back in the 60s the top secret McNamara study, which was later known as the Pentagon Papers, and which played a very key role in our whole understanding of the Vietnam War, as well as resistance against the Vietnam War. So he will be joining us in a bit less than an hour from now. William, welcome back.
Thank you.
You mentioned the issue of supply. People, I think when they buy their gas, they don't realize the cost of a barrel of oil. What is the cost of a barrel of oil today?
Well, it depends on where you're drilling, but the estimated cost, according to oil geologists that I know of, pulling a barrel of oil out of a field in Saudi Arabia is something on the order of $1.50 to $2 a barrel. North Sea, it's a little more. It's around $10 or $12 a barrel. Interesting enough, I recently got information on the calculation that Big Oil uses to estimate reserves. You know, reserves are a big part of the argument. We're running out of oil. The whole peak oil chorus that says we're running out of oil and we have to batten down the hatches and prepare to freeze in the dark. It's the end of civilization as we know it. Well, the peak oil thing is a myth, as I've written about extensively, but it's a myth that's being supported by Big Oil and by Wall Street financial speculators, because it justifies in the public mind, well, what can we do about high oil prices? Well, the reserve calculation that British Petroleum and Exxon and all the major companies use for oil in the ground is based on oil in the ground that we can get out at a price. The latest price that they use as a calculation is $25 a barrel, and that price was used when oil hit $100. So yeah. There is huge. If oil reserves were calculated at a $50 extraction price, we would have oil for the next 300 years.
But I understand.
Even by oil company estimates, not by geological reality.
Well, but the oil companies are probably not revealing all the reserves, because that is, of course, they play on inside on their own secret information that they have. But I understand that even the most costly extractions, such as the tar sands fields in northern Canada or in Venezuela, that we're not talking about anything in excess of $15 to $20 a barrel. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, at a price of $60 a barrel, I talked with an executive on one of the Alberta tar sands exploration projects, and he said at a price of $60 a barrel, we can make a very handsome profit. Thank you. So,
well,
if it's $15 or $20, that may be a bit on the low side.
Yeah.
But it certainly at a price of $60 a barrel, there's no problem.
But in any event, when we talk about Middle East oil, conventional classical forms of offshore oil, etc., Caspian Sea oil, we're not talking about a cost of production which is in excess of $10 or $15 a barrel.
Precisely. And that so the idea that $145 oil price is justified because the big companies are running out of new field is just it's a fairy tale.
Now let's because people a barrel of oil is a bit over 100 liters, is it not?
Well, the liter barrel conversion I don't have at the top of
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, I think it's about 110, 120 mm-hmm. liters, and then let's say it's about 25, maybe about 25 gallons, okay? One barrel is equal to 25 gallons of oil. Of course, when we take crude oil, when they take the crude oil, they refine it. They don't give us, they extract a lot of byproducts, and in fact what we get at the gas station is already some value has been withdrawn from it. But in any event, if we translate that if the cost is something of the order of $10 a barrel for, let's say, over 100 liters, that means that your gallon of oil would not cost more than 40 cents, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So we can apprehend the extent to which the oil giants are making excess profits out of this speculative bubble.
Well, you have to keep in mind that the Bush-Cheney regime is really the regime of Big Oil and the military-industrial complex. That's what they were put in there to do, and they have done handsomely for their patrons, but not for the American population or for the rest of the world, certainly. Yeah. And this is what they're all about, to let ExxonMobil, Chevron, the former firm of Condoleezza Rice, and Halliburton, the Chinese ex-firm, the biggest oil services company and biggest military construction company in the world. So he gets both ends of it. And they have just rolled back regulation, supervision, control in one after another area, so that it's just, it's like letting the fox guard the chicken coop, the regulatory regime that they've created in Washington. And oil price and grain prices are two huge and devastating examples of what happens when you turn off the regulatory controls.
Are we going to have a different fox in the White House?
well, a different fox, but a fox yet.
will the next fox also be guarding the chicken coop as well, or what?
Well, I think if you talk about Obama as his famous slogan, "We need a change," or "Change is the message." It's simply changing the sheets, but the patient is still the same. The Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor back in the 70s, and an advisor to every U.S. president since then, a co-thinker of Henry Kissinger's, is the chief foreign policy advisor of the Obama campaign. George Soros is one of the chief financial backers, and Penny Pritzker, the billionaire Chicago real estate mogul, her family's real estate company in Chicago back several years ago created the first subprime securitization with Merrill Lynch, the insane financial swindle that is now causing so many Americans the loss of their homes and misery beyond belief.
William, how far can this oil bubble actually go? I mean,
it is a bubble. It is a bubble.
Bubble. Then, I mean, could it? It's now because it's starting to have tremendous impacts on virtually every sector of economic activity. It's impoverishing people. It's triggering bankruptcies, particularly of small and medium-sized enterprises. But it's also backlashing on big business like the airlines.
Well, I think, Michelle, in answer to that, it's going to go as far as we let Wall Street and the unregulated ICE exchange in Atlanta, which claims to trade out of London, but in reality they're trading out of the U.S. oil futures contract. So long as we don't, the Congress doesn't take its responsibilities seriously to the general welfare of the United States of America and not only close the Enron loophole, absolutely roll back these ridiculous Commodity Futures Modernization Act that they passed in 2000, and stop the exemption of the ICE futures. Almost 40% of all oil futures is traded on a private exchange without government regulation because of a regulatory ruling back in 2006 by the U.S. government. So the U.S. government is responsible for this. The blame lies right on the doorstep of George W. Bush, and the Commodity and Futures Trading Corporation is under his watch.
Wow. Do you think that these policies can be reversed?
Oh, they could be reversed in 24 hours. You could have a price of oil down to $70, $75 a barrel, according to estimates I've gotten from some hedge fund traders.
You'd have to start freezing a whole series of speculative instruments, I presume.
The positions would unwind so long as the opaqueness of the ICE futures trading and things like that were ended, and margin requirements were raised to 100%. I would put 100% on oil and food futures. It's no buying on margins.
Margins. You think that would create a huge...
You can make a couple of very simple changes, eliminating the Enron loophole in a real sense, that is repealing the Commodity Futures Modernization Act and returning to the original act of 1934, which is
We'll have to go to another commercial break.
Yeah.
We'll be back with our guest, William Engdahl, on the oil bubble.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months. Months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Welcome back to the Global Research News Hour, which is coming to you from Montreal. Our website is www.globalresearch.ca. This is an initiative of the Center for Research on Globalization. My name is Michel Chasadovsky. Our guest in this first hour is William Engdahl, a distinguished author, both of the geopolitical situation as well as the financial crisis. His most recent book is Seeds of Destruction, The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation, which can be purchased online at www.globalresearch.ca. Welcome back, William. We were discussing the issue of the oil hikes, the speculative oil hikes. This is, in terms of your analysis of the financial tsunami, only one aspect of a whole series of financial processes which are undermining the real economy, so to speak, or at least it's having a major impact on real economic activity through manipulation. One of your recent articles focuses on the issue of credit default swaps and the fact that these credit default swaps are behind the meltdown of the subprime mortgage market. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, the the entire development of asset securitization, this is a project that goes back to the first day that Alan Greenspan became chairman of the Federal Reserve back in 1987, August. And he testified in Congress's first testimony as chairman of the Fed, and this was in a period in the run-up to this dramatic October 87 stock market crash, 23% in one day, which Greenspan helped to bring about. He called for repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act of 1934, the act of Congress that divided investment banking, such as Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley primarily do or used to do, and commercial banking, lending to industry, lending to people for home purchase and so forth. And Greenspan initiated what he called the financial revolution. He was a big one on revolutions in the 17 years he sat in the Fed. But the purpose of this was to spread risk, to deregulate banking, let the large banks get even larger, let them emerge interstate across borders, let them merge with insurance companies, which are very loosely regulated in the U.S., and let them merge with investment banks. Anything goes. Build these giant conglomerates. The argument was so we can compete with the Europeans. Well, the Europeans don't stand a candle, hold a candle to the kind of quarterly profits that Citigroup or J.P. Morgan Chase have been making in the last 6 or 7 years under this securitization. So they created derivatives to bundle this risk and sell it to pension funds as AAA rated. One of them was called credit default swaps, where you don't have to worry if you're buying a bond of something that's very dodgy as a credit, because you can take a derivative for a small price of the nominal worth of the credit and take out an insurance policy called a credit default swap against that default. And this market exploded during the explosion of the real estate bubble that Greenspan's low interest rates deliberately brought about. He talked about it openly in his speeches to Congress. At the time, the credit default swaps rose to the trillions of dollars worth, and I don't have the figure off the top of my head at the moment, but this is only one of numerous areas which are beginning. The student loans were securitized. You know, most American university or college students, they have to go into hawk and come out as a college graduate, if they're lucky, 4 or 5 years later, having borrowed $25,000 to $50,000, sometimes even $250,000 if you're going for a PhD these days. And they have to pay that back to a private bank. And the loans are then securitized. They're bundled together. John Smith and Jane Doe and all these students have their loans bundled together by Wall Street banks, and then they're sold on as bonds. And yeah. Then you have specialized insurance companies.
And those bonds have collapsed.
Well, the market for that has collapsed because nobody wants to, no bank wants to handle this securitized paper anymore. And these are hundreds of billions of dollars worth in one area after the other. And this is a slow motion collapse process. That's why many people are confused by it. They say, well, somehow the sky hasn't fallen yet. But this is going to last. The subprime disaster is that market is dead, a market of trillions of dollars, for at least 10 to 20 years. This is the damage that has been done by this. It's, in my estimation, and not mine alone, this is probably the end of the United States as a global sole superpower, the collapse of the United States financial role in the world.
We have to go for a short commercial break. That's a very strong statement, and we'll discuss it after the break. Our guest is William Engdahl, analyst of the financial crisis and a leading geopolitical analyst of the situation in the Middle East.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All you men out there, you need to listen up. By the age of 60, one in two men already have a prostate-related health issue. What does this mean? It might be an enlarged prostate, difficulty going to the bathroom, and a diminished sex drive. Not a pretty picture. If you're a man, you need to give your body nutrition to support prostate health. There's no question about it. Many people hear this and they might think saw palmetto, but there's something so much better out there. It's called Beta Prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. So before you try anything else, try Beta Prostate. Ignoring your prostate's not going to make the problems go away. Taking Beta Prostate is guaranteed to provide effective, all-natural support. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Call now and find out how you can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. Call now. Let me tell you all about a fantastic superfood called Royal Greens. Royal Greens offers incredible immune support, increases your energy, allows for better digestion, and is a heart-healthy blend. Royal Greens is made from an array of organic vegetables. One glass of Royal Greens has the antioxidant power that equals a big bowl of vegetables. Also, you're getting herbs like ginkgo biloba, aloe leaf powder, royal jelly, wheatgrass, and much more. Just mix a tablespoon of Royal Greens Ultra Blend powder into a cold glass of water, and that's it. It tastes great, and it's what you need for a natural energy boost. Royal Greens is sweetened with natural spearmint and stevia. For our listeners, today only, it is absolutely free. Just pay for shipping and handling. So call now. The phone number is 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Call now for your free Royal Greens. The number is 1-800-547-6603.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Welcome back to the Global Research News Hour. This is Michel Chosadovsky. Our guest is distinguished author and financial analyst William Engdahl. His latest book is entitled Seeds of Destruction. It's a bestseller published by Global Research. It can be ordered directly from our website at www.globalresearch.ca or from Amazon. Welcome back, William. We were discussing the decline, or at least you were stating that this is the end of the United States as a superpower.
Well, as a American power in the post-1945 world was very calculated to be based on its creation of the Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and later the GATT, and the role of the United States as the leading military power on the planet. So the two of those in tandem have been the secret, if you will, to American power projection ever since 45. And that role of Wall Street as the deepest capital market in the world is being destroyed by their own foolishness. Their unregulated, madness for hyper-profits or whatever. But, for example, we were talking about the credit default swap market. This was created by J.P. Morgan Chase, by a young woman who came out of Cambridge University and got a job for Chase, Morgan Chase, creating this thing. She came up with the idea. And now it's a market of $62 trillion nominal value. And these are tied to things like defaults of junk bond companies, high-risk companies that were put together when credit was cheap 2-3 years ago. And now as the recession deepens into a depression in the U.S., as I see it going, that means these junk bond-loaded companies are going to start defaulting on their bond payments, and the whole market for credit default swaps is in a slow-motion snowballing default process. So that's probably the next chain reaction of failures that we're going to see. Subprime was only the first one to go, the most obvious one, but by no means the last.
How what is your assessment of the U.S. dollar? Because all this situation, in fact, backlashes on currency markets.
It does. As I see it, the Henry Paulson and Greenspan is going around to Saudi Arabia and around the Gulf, urging them, in effect, to not peg their currency to the dollar, and he's urging the Chinese to do the same, to let the renminbi rise. And the real point is to have a orderly devaluation of the dollar so that de facto the external debt of the United States, or not of the United States, but of the private corporations that deal in that debt, becomes cheaper to repay. It's a classical gimmick that's used.
But then, in other words, what you're suggesting then is those who are actually behind U.S. monetary policy are in fact speculating against their own currency.
What they're encouraging, and they're gambling that for example, the European Central Bank. I was in a discussion with someone in Washington, fairly high up in the financial insider circles, and he said to me, were the Europeans to make some bold move with the euro, this was back in 98, 99 when the euro wasn't even launched, we would simply let the dollar go into free fall. It would drop 40% in a matter of 2 or 3 months, and we would scare the living daylights out of the European Central Banks such that they would step in and support the dollar against their own will. So I think they're counting that the ECB, that the Japanese Bank of Japan, that the People's National Bank of China, the biggest dollar holders, are going to have a self-interest in an orderly decline of the dollar, not a rout, so that they can let this thing sink down. Now, if that were to turn into a disorderly decline, as I pointed out in a piece on Tibet and the foolish Washington policy to try to put pressure on China at this moment. China holds $1.8 trillion of foreign exchange reserves, and the overwhelming bulk of those, they don't publish the exact figures, but the overwhelming bulk are in U.S. government treasury bonds, and where they decide for national security reasons to walk away from U.S. treasury bonds, that would collapse the U.S. financial system in a matter of minutes. So it's a very precarious situation, the situation of the dollar.
But on the other hand, I presume that U.S. financial institutions have themselves moved into holding euros or moving out of the dollar into euro. Is that not correct?
Oh, yeah, that's certainly true. But the main problem, and this is one of the things driving the oil and the grains price bubble speculation since January, especially, is that the Fed is turning on the money spigot like crazy, and accepting mortgage-backed securities, toxic waste essentially, as collateral against giving banks U.S. government bonds backed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America, and that's a bad exchange in my view, and that of many sober bankers, but they're doing this, flooding this liquidity into the market, and the banks turn around and take that liquidity and say, okay, where's a market we control? We control the price of oil because it's opaque, because it's over-the-counter, because it's unregulated by Washington. We're going to create an oil speculation bubble, a one-way bet, and the price is going to go through the roof, and we're going to make a killing on it. And I wouldn't be surprised, this is my own opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if the same people who are running the price of oil up when Goldman Sachs came out and said $200 a barrel oil is what we're advising our industrial clients, that they have taken a position to make a killing on a sharp reversal in the price of oil and magnify their profits going on the upside to 145, 150, whatever, and then equally so on the downside, so that they compensate for some of the huge losses these banks, Wall Street banks and financial firms have in the securitization debacle that they're
In other words, what you're saying is that they're making speculative gains in the futures options market on when the market goes up, and then they will reverse and speculate on the collapse. Is that correct?
Quite simply, because they're the only ones who holds what position, so they can take a counter position. And if you have Goldman Sachs as the point man in the U.S. Treasury in Washington, there's a colossal conflict of interest there.
What will happen is that politicians will then say, well, here we are, we've reversed the oil bubble, and we're ensuring that Americans will get gas prices at a reasonable price, and this will be used for political ammunition.
Well, some cynics that I know think that this is going to be done around end of July, early August, in time to create a September dramatic reversal in the price of gasoline in the run-up to the November elections, so that it would help incumbent Republican candidate John McCain, who badly needs help right now. Then after the elections, they would get back into the casino and bring the price back up to 145, 150 in 3 or 4 months, and go on from there. I mean, this, as long as this market is opaque, nobody can control what's going on. And the Congress and the federal government, the President of the United States, the administration and the Congress are responsible for this. They're the ones that broke it, and they can fix it. They could do it within 24 hours, and they know.
But what puzzles me in some regards is that if you look at the corporate, the upper spheres of finance and business in the United States, we're still dealing with a lot of very powerful corporations, which are likely to be hit head on by this policy. And I mean, I'm talking about the entire civilian economy, the airlines, the automobile industry, the residential construction, transportation, and so on. Now, these are still very powerful players on financial markets. How is it that they have not themselves mounted some kind of lobby activity against the oil majors, which, after all, are only a small fraction, the oil majors and these financial operators, only a small fraction of the economic elites?
Yeah. Well, I think the answer is, one, the oil industry and Wall Street are highly leveraged small faction. They have enormous lobbying power in Washington, PR power and so forth, some of the best in the world. And the other thing is there's two things going on. One is a long-term agenda of a faction of the elite, which has no interest in the health and welfare of the population in the United States. Their concern is their raw power. And by running the price of energy up, the same kind of thinking you had going in 73, 74, when Henry Kissinger facilitated the first oil shock, what I describe in the Century of War book, and orchestrated the Yom Kippur War behind the scenes to bring about that oil shock, 400% price rise in a matter of 6 months. But the same kinds of dynamic is at work. What they were after then was a huge increase of the relative power within the establishment of big oil and the banking powers behind them, primarily the Rockefeller Group, if you want to give it a name, and to bring economic growth rates in the developing world and the export of industrial machine tools and steel and equipment and so forth from the European industrial countries, especially Germany and Japan, to the developing world, that was beginning to take on an independent character, independent from the dollar empire, if you will. And the oil shock, as devastating as that was to the U.S. economy, was a manipulated way to bring power back into the hands of Wall Street and big oil. And I think that's very much the same dynamic we have today.
Right. And I presume that
they don't care. They don't care.
The big five
about,
defense contractors are also involved in the game.
Totally.
But now you mentioned, of course, you said that that these financial institutions are making such fat profits, etc. But some of them are, in fact, in a very difficult situation. Citigroup as well, UBS. I mean, and then the question is, how is it that a bank like Citigroup is experiencing financial difficulties? And I understand now Halliburton is one of the major investors in Citigroup.
Halliburton of Dubai, you mean?
Yes, Halliburton of Dubai. Is that different from Halliburton?
Dubai
from
company. It's not an American company.
Well, yeah. No, but it's still not. It's not Citigroup.
Yeah. No. Citigroup, banking insiders that I talk with regularly in London and elsewhere view Citigroup as a brain-dead bank, to use the crude term that they use. Simply that technically the bank is insolvent according to Basel capital adequacy levels and is having, imagine having to go hat in hand and begging the sovereign wealth funds of the Middle East for hard cash to simply keep doing business as a bank. It shows you, I think Wall Street and the financial markets in New York got so high on their own hype in the last 10 or so years that they believed they could do banking by spreading risk, securitizing it, selling it to pension funds and to governments and investors in Asia and elsewhere.
Without it backlashing.
And now that thing is backlashing. It's boomeranging back on them in a way that they never imagined was possible, simply because the world doesn't work according to their flawed financial risk models.
But on the other hand, I mean, they're eating each other up because UBS collapses, Bernstein's collapse, Citigroup is in difficulty, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
There's some people
UBS
that are
won't
picking
be allowed
up
to collapse. But the amazing thing is, in 1989, I wrote about this at the time. I had very good sources who gave me a list of 11 banks, money center banks in the U.S. that were considered technically insolvent, and the top bank on the list was Citigroup at that time. And so Citi had to be bailed out by Saudi investors who agreed to take a passive role as major investors and pump billions of dollars into the bank. And what do? They build themselves back up with a securitization system that's built on fraud and deception and predatory lending to ignorant people who are sold home mortgages that are not worth the paper they're signed on. And now that gimmick has collapsed. The same thing with UBS. UBS was technically insolvent after the Asia crisis in 1998 and the Russia default. And the Swiss Central Bank came in and created a shotgun marriage between Union Bank Switzerland and Swiss Bank Corporation, which was the stronger of the two banks, simply to keep the name UBS alive. So the madness of this securitization, this financial revolution, as Greenspan calls it, it's the attempt to, I'm writing about this now in a new book called The Power and Money, The Rise and Decline of the American Century, as a tentative title, but this was to be the crowning achievement of the globalization of risk and the privatization of profit for these financial operators, the six or ten big players in this thing, most of them based in New York, and it has backfired colossally. I think most of them cannot comprehend how severely it's backfired. They're in a state of denial and a state of fear. The world is supposed to work on their command, not the other way around.
But then, I mean, if we follow the logic of this, and we follow the logic of the hedge funds, this crisis has certainly not reached its climax by any means. We're in for something much more dramatic in the years to come. And when I say dramatic, I mean it's also the impact on people. It's the impact on the real economy. Now, the other aspect I think which you've also analyzed is the speculative rise in food prices, which has a similar logic. It's not in the same market, but it backlashes on people around the world, and it's triggering famines in developing countries.
Yeah. Well,
we'll have to go to a commercial break, unfortunately. Yeah. Our guest is William Engdahl on the Global Research News Hour. This is Michel Chosadovsky. We'll be back shortly after the break with our guest, discussing the ongoing financial crisis.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to gasfreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to gasfreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There you go.
You've heard of Life Change Tea and how successful this product works. Well, now, introducing Life Change Fat Burners. Burn fat, clean your blood, and pick up energy. Used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you can reduce your weight, reduce inches in your waist, and restore energy you haven't had in months. And it's all natural. Order yours today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. Why sit and wonder if this product works? Join the thousands of testimonies and make a change in your life. Lose weight and get healthy. There's no other product on the market like this. Try it today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea. Changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Welcome back to the Global Research News Hour. This is Michel Chosadovsky. This is an initiative of the Center for Research on Globalization. Our website, www.globalresearch.ca. Our guest on this part of the program is William Engdahl, distinguished author and analyst of the financial crisis. His latest book, Seeds of Destruction, can be ordered either from our website, www.globalresearch.ca, or from Amazon. We have a few more minutes in this program. how do you see the future, William, both politically as well as both geopolitically and economically? I mean, how does this all tie into the military agenda, the threats directed against Iran, the ongoing war in Iraq?
Well, I think Henry Kissinger summed it up very well. I use that as a leitmotif for the trilogy, the two books you mentioned, Century of War on Oil and then Seeds of Destruction on Control of Food. If you control oil, you control whole nations, he said back in the 70s. If you control food, you control people. And the third part of the trilogy is if you control money, you can control the entire world. I just finished a piece, which I hope to have on Global Research in the very near future, on a secret World Bank study that was leaked a couple of days ago, showing that 75% of the recent increase in grain prices worldwide is directly due to biofuels. And that goes directly back to a 2005 law that was sponsored by the Bush administration in the Farm Bill back then, to create huge subsidies for farmers to take land out of agriculture, food cultivation, and use it to grow corn and other crops to be burned as inefficient fuel. And that now has been copied by the European Union in a fit of madness, and now we have hundreds of millions of acres of farmland worldwide being taken out of farm cultivation to biofuels, and that is driving the price. I predicted this a year and a half ago, in fact, in an analysis of this biofuels thing. And now this has just gotten out of control. And yet the U.S. Congress in the May 2008 Food Conservation and Energy Act, they reaffirmed the policy of subsidy for biofuels. And the European Union in Brussels refuses to back off on their demands for 10% content of gasoline as biofuels by the year 2020. Which is creating huge elimination of agriculture cultivation, the two biggest food producers in the world.
To interject very briefly, you mentioned, of course, Kissinger's quote, I think, is very important. That was in the 1970s, oil and food. Now, when you take these two economic variables together, controlled on speculative markets by the same actors, not necessarily the same actors, but overlapping, you have a situation where the price of fuel and the price of oil go up and skyrocket.
Well, there are substitutes for one another. Food is a substitute for gasoline.
Absolutely. But I mean... Yeah. When you look at the impact of these hikes together, the impact on people is absolutely devastating.
Absolutely, yeah, it's unbelievable. And there is a tiny.
I think William, I think we're almost at the end of the program.
Okay.
In any event, we'll have to pick up on this. At some later date. Our guest, William Engdahl, who has spoken to us from Frankfurt, Germany. We're delighted to have him on the program. This is Michel Chostodowski. We'll be back after the break with our second guest, Dan Ellsberg, who will be joining us from California.
Gold has been.